Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. Paul is here modeling the new kit, the new home kit. Yay. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to say the whole kit. He's not full kitting it right now.
No,
in his room.
I'm just naked below the waist.
And, yeah, everyone enjoy the visual. Yeah, it's for you. So Paul, we are rolling with four segments.
Right.
Let me go ahead and run down what those segments are for everybody else on the podcast. So for podcasters out there, we are going to start with a reaction to our big cup win yesterday. Hooray! We got a 3-1 victory over Rotherham. Paul was there. So we got someone who actually saw it, unlike me who had to listen. Then we're going to preview this weekend's matchup at Goodison with Huddersfield. Then we'll go into our starting 11 segment, and we will be finishing up with a pod-only segment, Lightning Round with Paul. It's a new game we're playing. I mean, I say game. It's just a bunch of questions for Paul. He's got to answer super quickly, and they are pretty random. So there's that. All right, so plowing forward. Paul, Rotherham, 3-1, we win. Let's get your analysis. Initial reaction first.
It was a job well done in the end. I mean, these cup games always tend to give people a few jitters because you just know there's going to be a lot of rotation. There's going to be a lot of players who you want to make a good impression, and not all of them are always going to be able to. So, yeah. And especially against a team like this, Rotherham, they're coming into this game with nothing to lose, are they? But they're going to come here, give us a game. There's been times in the past where we've gone into these type of cup games. We played a cup. We've made one or two changes too many type thing. We played a couple of players who were put in the oven and they couldn't stand the heat type thing. So I went into this game, especially when I saw that starting lineup, which was a little bit strange to say the least. I was a little bit concerned, thinking I think he's tinkered with this team a little bit too much of my liking here. I really don't hope this. I really hope this is not going to be one of those nights. But it was okay in the end. I mean, it was a bit of a stunted start. I mean, you'd expect that when there's a lot of players who haven't had a lot of minutes in the last couple of months, or are players who are playing together for the first time. So things were a little bit stunted to start with, but I think as soon as the first goal went in, everyone just kind of settled down. Everyone very relaxed. The players moved the ball around a lot calmer. The crowd kind of got back behind them a lot more, and it just turned into quite a fun, enjoyable evening, really. I mean, there was only, you know, there was that, again, the jitters came back when they pulled that goal back near the end. And considering that the rules have changed now in the League Cup, if a game is a draw after 90 minutes, there's no extra time. It's just straight penalties. And you thought, all right, they've just got a goal 5 minutes from the end. This has been such a comfortable night, such a professional performance. This would just be the most Everton thing in the world to cock this up now and go to penalties. But thankfully, it didn't happen. We went right down the other end, and within, I think it wasn't even 60 seconds before we got the third goal. So
yeah.
Overall, it was a game where we started off a bit slow, but we got going after the first goal. And as the game wore on, just things were very, very comfortable, and a few players made some good impressions. A few other players didn't impress so much, really. I mean, but I don't think it was really a game where anyone came out of it it didn't give anyone any reason to be unhappy. We got the win. Most of the players looked good, or at least comfortable, and onwards we go in this cup.
Nice. Yeah, and for those of you who did not see the draw, it just happened. We're at home against Southampton. So, yeah, not a bad draw. Could have been worse.
Yeah, I like that draw, personally. Yeah. I like it's a home draw. We can't ask for anything else. A lot of, you know, Southampton, we've just played them. We've just, you know, let's have it right. We just pretty much beat them comfortably in the league. They're not going to come up to Goodison and play their full team. You know, they're not going to. They've got other concerns. They've got a manager who's probably going to be gone by the time we play that game. They're going to be in a relegation dogfight this season, by the looks of it. That game's not really going to be their priority, so I'm very happy with that draw. It's a Premier League team. We all would have preferred a lower league team, but as far as Premier League teams go, that's probably the best draw you can hope for.
Well, and if they clatter us like last time, they're going to be lucky to end with 11. You know what I mean? That was ridiculous. Anyway, back to Rotherham. You mentioned the kind of lineup being tinkered with a bit. The most significant place that I thought it was manipulated was in the center of the pitch with Sigurdsson, Davies, and Dowell, which Davies clearly is the more defensive of the three. And he started a captain, which, I got to be honest, I kind of like, just because I like Davies a lot, you know? But so with those three there, how did that affect our formation at all or our approach at all? Or did he just have Sigurdsson play farther back in one of those other kind of, you know what I mean? One of those other, like, kind of farther back center roles, the way we have either Gay or Schneiderlin playing?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. As I said, during that first half hour when things were a bit like when things weren't really going to plan, kind of the centre midfield looked very, very cluttered, like the three guys themselves, Sigurdsson, Davies and Dal. It was like the three of them couldn't really work out amongst themselves where who was meant to be where, who was doing which job type thing. Now, as the game wore on, they sort of figured that out and they kind of got up to speed with each other. And it was Davies playing the deep role. I saw Davies coming back into our half to pick the ball up from the centre-backs far more than the other two did. And there were a lot of times when, if Rotherham would push forward, it would be Davies who would be dropping back furthest. So he was very much playing the number six role, the deep quarterback kind of role, whereas Sigurdsson was playing more in the traditional number 10, further up the pitch. And Dal was kind of given that number eight spot, where he just kind of was allowed to roam around in the middle, box to box, kind of just make his presence felt. So, it was Sigurdsson who was playing further up in the number 10. Davies, who was playing deep as the defensive midfielder mostly. And Dowell, who was actually kind of left in the middle to kind of, keep things moving. And, as I said, it was a bit of a slow start. But as the game wore on and we got the goal and everybody seemed to feel more comfortable and, and the players seemed to just find a bit more confidence. And obviously Rotherham just kind of began to sat deeper and deeper. I thought eventually things started to click a lot better, so it was interesting. I haven't really ever seen Davies in that kind of role, especially play very, very deep, which he was for a lot of the game, especially for the entire second half. He was sitting in our half far more than he was going forwards into their half, which is, you never know. We could see that in the Premier League. Maybe that was going to be the plan that Silva has for him. You don't know.
So Dowell playing a little bit out of position then, which is.
Yeah,
because I've never seen him play that eight role, so maybe that's just my inexperience, having not seen him play a lot for the under 23s when he was playing for them. But I've always associated him with being either that number, that kind of attacking center mid role, or he's played wing before for a few teams. So I've just I didn't expect you to say that. Cool. Dina, according to Everton Twitter, was man of the match for many.
Yes.
You feel good about that signing now? Feeling great?
Yeah, I really liked Dina. He was man of the match for me as well. I thought Dina looked a real cut above the players he was playing. Now, I know it's Rotherham, but it's always a good sign when he doesn't look like he's at all going to need any time to adjust. I would put him in the starting 11, the main starting 11 tomorrow, based on that performance last night. He passed the ball really well. He linked up with Sigurdsson really, really impressively. He whipped in some brilliant balls on both his feet as well, on his left foot, and he set up the second goal with his right as well, with his opposite foot. So he's got a great cross on him. He reads the game very well. He was always in the right position type thing, which is sometimes, I don't want to dig him out, but sometimes Kenny on the other side could get kind of caught kind of out of position a little bit or backing off from a challenge, whereas Dinier just looked like it was all food and drink for him. It was just, he never looked uncomfortable at any point in the game at all.
Great. I saw that replay and I was like, what is, I just saw the replay and I was like, what in the world is he doing on the right? I was like, that's Dina, right? What's going on there? But I guess it was just after there had been a direct kick that I guess Sigurdsson had whipped in, but I guess Dina had been back there to help or something. So that would explain him being on the right because, it was just kind of, I did a double take. I did hear that Jonjoe Kenny looked good.
Yeah.
He played well. I think some people gave him man of the match. Sandro, I heard, looked very solid in the first half. And obviously DCL bagged 2 goals. After hearing all that, your standouts for the young players who maybe don't get to play as much. If you were a neutral observer, hadn't seen any of those, which of the young players would catch your eye?
Kenny, to be fair. I mean, I didn't mean to sound like I was kind of doing him down a moment ago, but I thought Kenny looked really, really mature and really, really like he's ready to be playing top level. He's a little bit of a forgotten man at the moment, isn't he, type thing, because Coleman is such a fan favourite and, you know, the idea of dropping Coleman when he's not injured is unthinkable. So it's kind of going to be hard to see where Kenny's going to kind of get his opportunities going forward. But I thought he looked really, really, really good and really impressive and very mature. There's a lot of young players, as you said, they kind of just flop their big chance type thing. And Kenny looks like he's been playing in the first team, rather, for many, many years. So he's obviously got a lot of improvement to do. He is still raw type thing. But I was kind of mulling over the fact the last couple of weeks, months, is Kenny one of those players who could maybe benefit from a loan, playing 30, 40 games in a team? But after that last night, I kind of came around to the opinion of, no, I think there's a place for him here. Good. I think there's a place for him as our number two right back. And if he has to play in a game, in a cup game midweek, or if there's Coleman picks up a slight knock at some point in the season and has to miss a few weeks, I'd be more than comfortable throwing Kenny back in, because when he was played there last season, he really, really showcased himself and really done himself proud. And there's not one bit of evidence from what I've seen in any of his performances to suggest that he's not ready for this level.
Great. That's great news. He's a player that last season, I think a lot was expected of him very quickly. So yeah. I'm psyched that he's grabbing the opportunities he is getting. Quick question about Sandro. He seems to put the ball across pretty well. You know, he seems to be a pretty accurate crosser of the ball. He would offer us something unlike any of our other players that we have, somebody who's trying to mainly set up other players for goals rather than be direct and cutting in the way Walcott, Richarlison, you know what I mean? Do we keep Sandro, or is he definitely going to Sociedad? Okay, so here's a brief update. Prior to recording, Sandro's loan move had not gone through. Guess what? It has gone through now. So, so there's your update. We were wondering whether or not Sandro was officially gone on loan to Spain, and yes, it has happened. Real Sociedad. So, he's definitely not going to be in the squad this weekend. Anyway, back to the show. Last thing, let's make this super quick. Zonal marking. Is the zonal marking responsible for that goal, or was it one player where you're like, you didn't cover what you were supposed to do?
I would blame it on the zonal marking. I'm not a fan
of it. I sort of gave you two choices that are the same thing, essentially. Because if someone doesn't cover their area, well, then that's zonal marking failing. You know what I mean? And that means we need to communicate better as a squad in those situations. Yeah,
it's a strange one. If you're going to... Zonal marking is one of those things where whenever a team starts it and takes that as a new approach, it's always going to have teething problems. Yeah. It's something that has to be drilled in. They have to be doing training that every day for months on end before we'll start seeing the benefits of it. Whereas man marking at set pieces, that looks like it's kind of... That seems like it would be the most sensible option to do. But the thing with man marking is you've got to have real quality defenders for that to work. If you have defenders who are just not quick enough, or to get up off the ground, or not quick enough to keep up with their man, or their concentration level's just not strong enough, then you know man to man marking, it has its own pedals. Right. So far the zonal marking I've not been a fan of it. We have leaked too many goals because of it. But it looks like Silva's going to persevere with it, so I guess we'll just have to hope it gets better as we go on. But one thing I will say is, because I saw a good line on Twitter that I'd like to repeat, zonal marking is marking a blade of grass, and I've never seen a blade of grass score a goal. do you know where I'm coming from? Zonal marking, long term, I think zonal marking might we might see the fruits of that, but right now it has to get better, and it has to get better a lot quickly because we are leaking too many silly goals at the moment.
Yeah, all the goals we're leaking are silly. It's anyway, all right, so here's hoping we actually clamp down this weekend, and we'll talk about this weekend in our upcoming Huddersfield preview. So that is coming up, but for now, that's it for our Rotherham reaction. 3-1 win feels good, you know. We're still undefeated this season, just saying. Yeah, two draws, whatever. So that's it for this segment. Paul, we've got a big, another big Premier League matchup this weekend, because they're all big in the Premier League. I acted like it was some crucial game. No, they're all kind of crucial. We've got Huddersfield at the weekend. And everybody says that all Premier League games are competitive, and that's why that league is so strong. But this is a little bit of a trap game, I would say, because right now Huddersfield have scored one competitive goal. One. All right? Yeah. So the initial thought is, hey, if we're going to keep a clean sheet, this is the one, right? They've lost, let's see here, they've drawn one game, lost two. They lost in the cup yesterday, 2-0 to Stoke, and they drew with Cardiff last weekend, 0-0. Yeah, it's if you were just looking at numbers, immediately you'd say, oh, we got this. But that is so dangerous in the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You know, if you need a result, then Everton are the team to visit, aren't they? Just any team that comes to us, which is in dire straits, we always find ways to help them out, or the referee finds them ways to help them out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is not a gimme at all.
No. Yeah, their manager is a. We tend to claim him as American because I think he's part American. David Wagner.
Yeah.
Peeps with Klopp, which is enough to want to beat him.
Oh well, he got linked with some big jobs last season purely for the fact that he is Klopp's sidekick, Robin to Klopp's Batman. I saw a lot of people linking him with our job, and I thought, come on, don't be silly, put the needle down, go easy on that crack.
he needs to maybe prove himself a little bit more.
I'm not saying he's a terrible manager, but I think he's one of these managers where just because he's got a bit of a quirky personality, he tends to have a lot of fanboys who kind of just love him for his sound bites and the way he, you know, just the way he acts rather than what he actually has achieved since he's been in the Premier League. I know he did well in the lower leagues, and he did well keeping them up last season, but you've just said it yourself, they've scored one goal. They have lost three of their four games, one in the cup, two in the league. You know, they're one of those teams who you wouldn't bet against them going down.
Yeah, and I don't want to completely just bash the manager just because I do think he's done a good job since he's been there, because it's a tough job. It's not an easy job.
That's true.
To be the manager of Huddersfield. I think he has done a good job. It's just I usually feel like if you're a team that's been promoted, surviving that first season is the goal. But after that one season, it's almost like the rest of the league has had a year to kind of get an idea of who you are.
Yes.
And that makes the second season, I feel like, just as difficult as the first. Possible starters. I'm going to either look at Hamer, but Hamer's maybe injured. I think they had to sub him recently. So it could be Losel playing in goal, but one of those two. I'm going to butcher this name, man. Hadurjanaj. Yeah.
He's better than what I can say.
He's a quality right back, I believe. And then Zanka, Jorgensen, and Schindler probably running in the center. And Kongolo, who we were connected to two or three years ago when Koeman was manager. So, yeah, he plays outside back for them. Aaron Moy in the center. with Billing. And then you got Pritchard, Diakabi, Van La Parra, and Mooney. Dangerman, I look at this lineup, and I think Mooy is their most difficult player to deal with in terms of the heart and soul of their team. Yeah. I don't see one player where I say, that guy's dangerous, that's a danger man. You know what I mean?
There's no star in that team at all. They are what I would call a poor man's version of Burnley, if that makes sense. Just a team that doesn't have any stars, but a team of real workmen who all clearly have a real connection with one another. A lot of them have been together a long time. And, you know, they play, they win as a team, they lose as a team. So the reason they survived last season and the reason they will survive this season, if they do, was just because they have such a strong spirit and sense of character in their squad. So, yeah, there's no real player who you look at and you think, wow, that guy is a danger man. He's going to get a move to a big club in the next year or two. There's just a lot of seasoned professionals there who just work really hard and seem like they're just very honest pros. But I agree with what you're saying. I don't look at that team and I don't think, oh, wow, this is going to be a tough day today.
Yeah, could you see them packing back and packing it in on us and just kind of trying to frustrate us and then get off on the transition?
I don't see what else they can do, genuinely. I mean, if they don't do that, if they decide to play open and come at us, then fair play to them. But I think if they do that, then they're setting themselves up for a hype. I mean, a team like that, when they're away from home, maybe if they were at home, they would be a bit more adventurous. I think that's what they're going to have to do this season to get some results. But when they're coming away to a team like us, that is quite high on confidence as well. We've got had some good results. They're going to come here and they're just going to think, wow, you know, we can't concede an early goal. If we get an early goal against them, then we could run riot. And I think they know that. I think they're going to look to frustrate us and just do what a lot of teams do when they come to Goodison. They just hope to, as you said, sit in, pack us out, keep us kind of out of their penalty area, not let any shots loose. And when that tends to happen, give it 25, 30 minutes, Goodison does tend to groan a little bit. The groan starts. People get a little bit anxious, a little bit fed up. And when that happens, it makes things a lot more comfortable for the opposing team. So I think that's probably their best bet. Just come to Goodison on Saturday, shut up shop, at least for the first half or so. Hope the crowd gets annoyed. Hope the Everton players kind of panic and lose patience a little bit and just see what they can steal on a set piece or a breakaway.
Yeah, we, before the Rotherham match, we talked about our main weakness is set piece defending. And Rotherham's strength was set pieces. So we had pretty much already figured out that they were going to get a set piece goal. And lo and behold, they got one on a corner. So smaller teams, that's usually their danger against bigger squads. You know, that's typically the way this works. It'd be great if we could shore that up. But like I said, I mean, hey, if we're going to get a clean sheet, it seems like this would be the time. Seems.
Yeah.
However, what is your prediction for this weekend, Paul?
I mean, I don't think it'll be an absolute hammering. I'd like that. I think every Everton fan would like that. I'll go for a 2-0. I think it'll be another professional performance. I mean, they'll come, they'll give it a real good go. They'll frustrate. They'll have a few moments here and there, but I think we'll get one goal maybe. I think we'll get goals either side of half time. I think maybe at the end of the first half, we might get a bit of luck or they'll lose a bit of concentration. And then if we get another goal, you know, in the first 15 minutes of the second half, that will just be game over and we'll just be happy with our lot. So I'm going to go for a fairly, you know, a professional 2-0. I'll go for.
Yeah, I wrote down the same thing. A 2-0. That's why I was making the face. I'm like, great.
Great match.
Yeah, let's say that. That happened all the time last season. Max and I picking the same score repeatedly, or David and I just every time I'm just like, well, I can't even say anything now. Cause, I agree. And you know what? Jink Tosin is due. He is due. All right.
Yes.
I think he's going to get one. Now, I usually make these oddly specific predictions, Paul, and they're never right. I'm usually okay getting the starting 11 or the score, but whenever I pick a player, I'm usually wrong. So Jink. Hope I didn't jinx you. Hey. So yeah, anything else on this one?
No, not really. I mean, I just follow on what you said. I really, really hope Jenk gets a goal. I mean, if you offered me now, this just might be a bit controversial. If you said to me, you can have a 3-0 and Jenk doesn't score, or you can have a 2-0 and Jenk does score, I would take the 2-0.
I think that's pretty sound. I think you've got a good reason for that, too. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think, some people might think that's silly. Oh, you know, come on, you've got to get goal difference. But we just, Jenk needs a goal, as you said. I mean, he's not in bad form. He's not struggling by any stretch. But, you know, he's a striker. He lives off goals. He needs a goal to kind of, you know, give himself a boost. Do you know what I mean? So, and he, you know, he's worked hard as well. He's in all those games we played so far, he's deserved a goal for his endeavour. So I really want to see him score. And I wouldn't be too surprised if we see Walcott get one as well, because he looks like he's in great form at the moment. And he's just been left out the England team, so he has a point to prove still.
Ah. I'm going to call our other goal Zuma.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Hope so.
I don't know. I'd like to see a center back get another goal. We've been doing okay on those, you know, on a corner. So, yeah. And to be fair to Jink Tosin, back on him really quick, he's getting assists. He's playing good football. His hold-up play is sound. His combination play is sound. He's looking the part. He's just not getting a lot of shots lately. And when he is getting them, he's kind of not putting them in the corners, you know? Which is, typically, he can have one chance all game and he bags it, you know? Lower corner or a diving header out of nowhere. You know what I mean? But, gosh, that's sorry, that Stoke header. I just relived that. It was wonderful.
That's a great header, that one.
But,
Andy Gray-esque, that was.
Ah. You'll have to teach me about Andy Gray, Paul. Remember, I'm the young Evertonian in terms of my Everton life, all right?
I wasn't around when Andy Gray was scoring goals for Everton, but I know all about him. You know, real blood and guts, you know, get in your face, win headers, tackle, you know, one of these real old-fashioned tough
guys. Oh, I have seen some compilation videos of Andy Gray.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Big mess of ginger hair.
Yes. That's the best type of ginger hair. The big mess.
Yes.
Big fan.
Yes.
All right. So, Paul, I guess that's it for our Huddersfield preview. I'm going to talk about our possible starting 11 for Huddersfield. What is Silva going to do? As we expected, he threw us all for a loop yesterday during the cup match. Said, you know what? I know you thought we did this, but I'm going to do this instead. You thought Sandro was gone, but guess what? I'm going to play him. You know, but he's typically a little more predictable for the league so far this season. So, Paul, you're starting 11, please. Who do you got?
Jordan Pickford in goal, obviously.
You're going off out on a limb there, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, starting that guy? Who would see that coming?
Seamus Coleman at right back. Kurt Zouma, Mason Holgate. On the left, I would bring in Lucas Digne, or Dean, I think he said he's comfortable pronouncing it either way. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the French guy, we'll call him that. We'll call the French guy at left back. We'll have him because I was really impressed with him in the League Cup. I think he showed a lot of class. He showed that he looked very, very comfortable. He did not look like a player who's going to need time to adjust. And, you know, without digging him out too much, Baines was kind of at fault for one of those goals last week. Well, he wasn't kind of at fault. He was at fault. He gave away the penalty. So I think that, coupled with the fact that Digne was so good in midweek, I think that a change in that position is justified. So that's my back four. Digne, Holgate, Zouma, Coleman. In the centre, I would play Gay as in the number six role. And either side of him, I would play Sigurdsson. And I mean, I was quite critical of him last week. I thought he played quite poor, but he kind of redeemed himself a little bit in the week when he captained the teams. So I think Tom Davis has earned a reprieve. I think he's earned another chance to come in, especially, you know, Schneiderlin. I'm not sure if he's fully fit. I mean, he came on for like 5 minutes at the end of the other day, but I don't know whether he's 100% ready to be starting games again Yeah, so I would go with Gay, Davis and Sigurdsson. And out wide, I would have Theo Walcott on the right. And on the left, obviously, Richarlison can't play. Now, this is the most difficult one because Bernard didn't play in the cup because apparently he has a little bit of a knock. Don't know how serious that is. Maybe they were just it was a precaution. But even if Bernard is fully fit, I would throw the gauntlet out to Adam Luckman and I would say, here's your chance. Richarlison's injured. Balassi's gone. Sandro's going or could be gone by then. Say to Luckman, right, if you want to play every week so bad, here's your chance. You're going to start in this game. Go out there and showcase yourself. So I would hand Luckman a start, and I hope he doesn't throw it back in the manager's face if he does that. I'd be really disappointed, but I think this is the chance for Luckman to really go out there and show what he's made of. And if he plays great, great. It'll just mean Leipzig are even more desperate to sign him, and we can get more money. Or it could go the other way, and he ends up going out playing at Goodison, and he loves it so much that he decides he doesn't want to leave. So yeah, and of course, Tusen is the number 9. So. I'll just sum it up. Pickford in goal, Coleman at right back, Holgate and Zouma centre back, Din on the left, Gay, Davis, Sigurdsson, Walcott, Luckman, Tusen.
All right. That is 11 players. So it's an eligible lineup, just saying. We differ on a few of these. I usually don't pick who I would start, it's more who I think Silva's going to start. And yeah. So we're going to have a few differences here just because this is what I think he's going to do. Pickford in goal, because that's a thing we always do. Coleman, Holgate, Zouma. I think he's going to start Baines, mainly because Dean just played yesterday, and that's his first full match for us this counting season. You know what I mean? The actual games that count. So I think he may chill with Dean, but keep it on the bench. So I think he'll roll with Baines. Just a Gay better play. If that injury that supposedly has some kind of a knock, that's a concern for me. Because if he doesn't play, I think Davis comes in. I think he'll go with Schneiderlin and Sigurdsson. But like you said, it's fully possible for him to go Gay, Davis, Sigurdsson. But I think he'll be Gay, Schneiderlin, Sigurdsson, like it was happening before when Schneider was healthy. Walcott, obviously. And I think he may go DCL out on the wing the way he played yesterday. He bagged 2. He's young, so his recovery time will probably – he doesn't require a lot. And I think Luckman won't even be in the squad. I'm just getting really pessimistic about that situation. Like, really pessimistic about it. So I think DCL will start on the wing. And Bernard, I would start Bernard. However, he hasn't... he's only played, like, 10 minutes in one game. And he's coming off an injury. So I hesitate to think that he will start. So, yeah, Walcott and DCL on the wings, or playing those kind of inside forwards, I guess. That's kind of...
Yeah.
And Cenk Tosun. Tosun Pasha. Yes. That's my 11. All right. So the big questions are left back, one of the two center mids, and that left wing. Those are the question spots. That if we're wrong about any of these, it's probably going to be one of those.
Yeah, they're the positions that are up for grabs. You know, everywhere else in the squad, all the players who play in those positions have really started the season well. Mm-hmm. And they're the kind of positions, other than centre-back, where we don't really have any injury problems. But thankfully, we're covered at centre-back for now.
You think Sandro will be in the squad?
I don't think so. I mean, the Real Sociedad... deal looks like it's going to go through. I mean, their president spoke today, and he basically confirmed that the deal is on. It's very rare that such a senior figure at a club would come out and confirm that a transfer is going to happen like that before it's happened. But he basically said, yeah, the deal is done. It's just kind of on Sandro to just kind of get on the plane and go over there for his medical.
I guess that's the question is whether or not what Sandro wants. I would just be equally surprised if Lookman was on the bench. That's the weird thing. We just are very thin in our wide options without Richarlison. And if Bernard, you never know what's going on with him right now. So what do you got? It's we don't have everybody. It's just kind of – it's weird to feel so thin right now in terms of our squad. I know we got rid of a lot of people, but I felt really comfortable with our squad depth. And now it's kind of like, oh, hell, you know? So anyway. So that's what we're thinking about for the starting 11 versus Huddersfield. Anything else on this? You feel good?
No, just hopefully we get the results. If we win, that's, you know, that's to start the season. That's two home wins, two away draws in difficult circumstances, both those away draws as well. And we're in to the next round of the Cup. So if you'd have offered me that back in the end of July, early August, two home wins, two away draws, and a win in the Cup in the first round, I'd have snapped your hand off of that. So I think this game, the results will define what our start of the season is. It's either a decent start or it's a very, very good start. And I'm very, very hopeful that we get that win and we stay high in the table and we just keep everyone's mood up.
Mm-hmm. Can we please, pretty please, with sugar on top, finish with 11 players and not give up the penalty? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Let's just not shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, that would just be wonderful.
Can we just have some consistency, please? You know, referees kind of just making it up as they go along, which is what he literally did in that first game with Jagielka. He had to change what he wrote in his match report just to suit his decision.
And the previous match, we were talking about the fact that I just wanted consistency from one play at this end of the field to the other end. You know, if this is a penalty, then this should be a penalty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing that's killing me is the consistency even within the game with the same referee, the same official. That just, that pisses me off. But who knows? Maybe they'll get better. They're not.
Well,
they're not going to get better.
No.
It's not going to happen. All right. So, that's it for our starting 11 segment against Huddersfield. COYB. So, listeners, all you folks out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're going to do a new segment now called Lightning Round. And Paul is going to be answering a series of questions, some of them football related, some of them not. And he's not allowed to ask for clarification on the question or take a long time to answer. He just needs to answer quickly.
Okay.
Let's see what happens. We're going to get to know Paul in a hurry. All right. So we're not going to pressure you by timing this, Paul, with like a stopwatch or anything, just because I think that would – I've already surprised you with this anyway. So
yeah.
I don't want to throw on too much pressure. So lightning round with Paul is a go now. Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Mountains or beach?
Mountains.
Baines or Digne?
Baines.
Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
Under Armour or Macron?
Under Armour.
Favorite sport other than football?
Boxing.
Comedy or action?
Comedy.
Is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Yes.
Big city or small town?
Big city.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
How is that taking so long? That's crazy. All right, I'm coming to England. Where should I visit other than Goodison Park?
X in the City.
Favorite animal?
Cats, house cats.
Tea or coffee?
Don't drink either. If I had to, at gunpoint, tea.
Okay. Favorite player that's never played for Everton?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
New York or LA?
New York.
Paris or Rome?
Rome.
You've just made a football team. What number do you ask for?
7.
Juventus first team on Netflix or All or Nothing Man City on Amazon?
Juventus on Netflix.
Brazil or Argentina?
Brazil.
And then finally, the first movie quote that comes to your mind.
I don't think I can say. I've got a good one. Don't call me Shirley.
Ah, nice. Ding, ding, ding. Paul has wrapped up his lightning round. Thank you, Paul, for being a good sport. Honestly, it's kind of fun to write all these questions.
Yeah.
And I might just start doing different questions for whoever is on the show. Just a different lightning round. Repeating some of them, we'll see. So one quick thing, Paul.
Yeah.
If I'm coming to England, my wife would be coming with me. What is X in the City?
That's a very, very well thought of gentleman's establishment. You can take your wife.
I had a feeling.
You can take your wife. I've seen ladies in there.
Paul, that I had a feeling. This is a podcast. You can't see Paul's face, obviously. But I saw his smirk. If he'd have kept a straight face, I wouldn't have known that X in the City was even that kind of thing. Okay? Yeah. I would not have known. And I would have put it on the list to visit. Oh, Paul, that made me laugh. All right, awesome. So, I don't think I have any other follow-up questions. Your movie quote is sound. Any airplane reference is a good one for me.
I was going to say, it's gone now. I was going to quote like a really obscure British film, but I don't think you know what that is. It's me and Terry are big fans of it.
What is it, by the way? I'm curious.
It's a film called Guesthouse Paradiso. It's very. Have you seen that?
No.
It's very, very like British and 90s slapstick type thing. But it's just got a lot of like silly, bad language, but in a silly, tasteful way, type thing. So
okay.
I had to just think.
I would totally watch that movie. By the way, it's.
Oh no, you'll like that. You will like that film. I promise you. If you like silly, absurd comedy, as in like you know what are these guys doing type thing, like. These guys have found themselves in a really silly situation. How are they going to get out of it? But it's one of those type of movies. Guesthouse Paradiso.
Nice.
Me and my brother's favorite film.
You just heard that from Paul. You got a nice little recommendation from both Paul and Terry, actually. So both of them recommend it. So there's that. I'll be checking that out, just saying. So that's it for Lightning Round with Paul. And that's it for the big show. If you've been listening to via podcast, which apparently you are because this isn't on a video. Ha! Thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. Leave a little review that says, "Hey, Paul, I love Guesthouse Paradiso. We should get together and watch it." Something like that. That's a good review. I like that. Also, you can catch Paul on the Toffee Blues website, and he contributes to the Liverpool Echo fan jury every once in a while. So there's that. Speaking of the Toffee Blues website, you should just go there. There's all kinds of Everton-based content, all things Everton, basically. Check that out. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Plugging done. That is it. Paul, thanks so much, buddy.
No problem, man. Anytime.
All right, wonderful. And yeah, that's it. So, yeah, let's get a win this weekend. So, bye.